Beginning on page 2 together, the glory of God shall be revealed.
And all people shall see it together.
Just took us all Advent to get that straight. And for Christmas, we got it. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light enkindled in our hearts may shine forth in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of the Lord.
Worship the Lord, all shall
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith could be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came so to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and live among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
And the Logos, the Word of God, became flesh, and he pitched his tent among us, and we have seen his glory. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So earlier, just now, when I came out to do the collect, I looked out this back window, and there was a guy on a four-wheeler doing kind of wheelies in the back there, and I thought, that's where everybody is this morning. On their Christmassy four-wheelers that they got on Christmas morning, right? This is the Sunday of the True Believers here. Here you are. You've come. I prepared the hardest for this sermon, just so you know, because I know this is. So I was thinking about this beautiful piece of poetry that is handed to us in the very beginning of John's gospel. I mean, I think it represents the best of that gospel, this highly stylistic, very theologically grounded, poetic, beautiful statement about God becoming incarnate, that is, enfleshed, embodied, made physical, touchable. It's this beautiful thing. And I was thinking about sort of what that means to have, to worship, to love, to be devoted to a God who is willing to become wrapped up physically in this whole thing with us, right? And I got to thinking about pie. Because I think about pie all the time. That's what I think about. But so I used to, I worked with this young woman over at St. Albans, and I remember telling her one time, and this is true, like 40% true, that making pie is a prayerful experience for me. And it is. I've prepared a number of sermons, you know, making pie, right? And but I remembered the first time I ever tried to make pie dough. And I said words to that pie dough that you could not classify as prayerful in any way. I might have thrown that pie dough against the wall and weeks later, like, gotten a piece of, you know, dried up pie dough off of the wall. I might have found a piece of pie dough up in the vent over the stove, you know. Because at the time, I made him critical error, and this is a long time ago. I mean, that was novice days. I'm way expert now. But back in the novice days when I was making pie dough, I had read on the internet that you should take a tool and cut the butter into the flour. And the reason you do that is to keep the butter from getting too warm, and I think there's some truth in that. But for me, it is not true, hence the pie dough never working out. It wasn't until I took my hands, you're all going to really want my pies after I tell you this, I get my hands up in there into that and squeeze that butter with my fingers into that fat, into the starch. And there comes a point where I can feel there's a texture. I know it. I couldn't even describe it to you, but I know when that dough is ready, when that mixture of fat and yeast and flour and sugars and all that stuff, where there's a texture, right, where it has bounded to the point that I can pour cold water on that and get pie dough, right? And what it required of me was to do physically, right? And so what I just told you in those very gross terms is what John has told us in very beautiful terms in the beginning of his gospel, that God had to put his hands in it, you know? God had to physically connect with it. And here we are in the Christmas season. This is a short season. It's, you know, so we got Christmas Eve, which was Wednesday, which we celebrated the Feast of the Nativity that day, right? So we kind of moved Christmas Day to Christmas Eve. We celebrate that. And then we got this Sunday, which is Christmas 1. And then next Sunday, we're doing lessons and carols, and it's going to be Christmas. But the Sunday after that, we're going to move right into Epiphany, and that's it. It's like this brief window of an opportunity, of a time to think about, to dwell on, to wonder what it means that Jesus was this, a baby in a feeding trough, right? Vulnerable in this horrific kind of way. So vulnerable that there was a threat on his life, and he had to flee to Egypt, right? That God was willing to risk God's self in this way in love for our sake, right? This is the short window in which we get to dwell there. Because when we move into Epiphany and on into Lent and Easter and, you know, what's next? I don't even know. Shane, what are the seasons? You go, I can't even remember. I'm thinking back to my confirmation class. Right, when we go through all these liturgical seasons and we'll explore and unpack the life of Jesus. But it's in this moment when we can remember that Jesus, that God took this huge risk on us as a baby, right? And I'm wondering about what that means for us. I think about the Mother Mary and all of her courage and wisdom and beauty and strength of character and just holding this child, right? And Mary knew what Jerry had read about the prophecy. She had these in her mind and her heart because these stories were told, right? She knew them like, I know the West Wing. None of you know the West Wing. That's just a joke. So, but she had these stories in her heart. And I believe, I could be wrong, I wasn't there, I believe that until she held that bundle of terror and joy and love, right, that was all theater of the mind, and then it became practical in this moment. And I think if we're not careful, that we come to this room once a week together and we practice this thing, and it's theater of the mind. We tell these stories, we sing these beautiful songs, we see these wonderfully lit candles. I wear this dress, and it's this thing that we celebrate, and we break that bread, and it's a beautiful, powerful thing that's real. And if we're not careful, it never becomes the bait, right? It's not that thing that's practical and lived in the world around us. Recently, I came across a story. I'm embarrassed that I didn't know the story, but I know it. It's kind of fuzzy in my brain, but I'm going to give it to you now. So I'm going to take you back, 1830, Louisville, Kentucky. Which way is that? Which way? This way. That's not right. I don't know. It's in one direction. This way. This way. Okay, Louisville, Kentucky. So take yourself back in time to Louisville, Kentucky. Here we are, right? And there's a man. Thornton Blackburn is his name. Thornton drives a horse-drawn buggy. And that buggy is a carriage that carries goods between different vendors. And this is his job. The problem, though, is that Thornton doesn't work for himself. He's an enslaved man. And so he works for an owner. And one day he's carrying goods across Louisville, Kentucky, and he's at this market, and there's this woman there named Ruthie, who is beautiful. And he falls in love with Ruthie, and he gets to know Ruthie. And the two of them become extremely connected to each other. And they decide, there's a problem here, but they decide to get married. The problem is that Ruthie is owned by a different person than Thornton. And their marriage is sort of in secret. Some people know about it. Some people don't know about it. Of course, the problem is that they can't live together in their marriage, right? And at St. Albans, I joked and said, sort of like my situation where my person lives in Nashville. I can't make that joke sitting over there. So, but they were sort of separated from each other, right? And but relatively, they write of being happy together for those few years in the early 1830s that they were married in Kentucky, in Louisville, Kentucky, until Ruthie's owner dies the person who claims to own Ruthie, dies and leaves a business that is failing and almost in bankruptcy. So his wife, not knowing what to do, calls her friends and colleagues and attorneys and folks, and they tell her that she needs to sell the one thing that she has of great value, which is Ruthie, who's, in maybe her mid-20s at this point. And so she decides to do this. And the way that they go about it is, if you can imagine this, in her living room, they set up a table, and Ruthie comes into the living room and stands up on that table, and people, men, come in and bid on Ruthie. And the man who wins the auction is a man, and this part of the story struck me hard, is a man who dealt in the trade of fancy women, which we all know what that means. He was a sex trafficker, and Ruthie knew that, and Thornton knew that. But they didn't let on. They acted like everything was normal. That was a Friday afternoon. Saturday goes by. Sunday morning, they get ready to go to church like they do every Sunday. And Thornton Blackburn and Ruthie go to church together, and it's an all-black church. And they get dressed up, and instead of going to church, they get on a steamboat, heading north, right? But here's the thing. To get on the steamboat heading north, they needed what was called freedom papers. And freedom papers were documents that were akin to passports today. The difference, though, is that they didn't have the technology to put that little picture of you right there. And so instead of that picture, there was a very detailed physical description of who you were. So maybe very detailed about scars that you might have, birthmarks, or maybe the size of your teeth, or the exact color of your skin, or what you might be wearing. So that people couldn't just trade these documents around, you know what I mean? And so they used these forged freedom papers to get on the boat. Just want to pause here and recognize that some person lost to history, risked their life and freedom, some literate person risked their life and freedom to forge those papers for Thornton and Ruthie. They took a risk, right? They took a risk. And Thornton and Ruthie made it to Detroit. I don't even know which way to point for that. They went to Detroit, and there they were, and they started a life together in Detroit. All because, I think, what I'm going to call it is love carried them from Louisville all the way to Detroit, where they could live in relative freedom, right? And so here we are. We've got this story about the Word becoming flesh. And here's where you're going to have to pay attention, because I'm weaving a couple things together. But when John writes that the Word became flesh and lived among us, that is a correct translation. Though, if you were to translate it literally, it would be the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Or another translation, the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Or the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. That's how the Good News Bible puts it. Right. I love this pitch a tent idea because here's another story. I met this person one time at Southside Abbey when I was celebrating the Eucharist there, and it was Christmas, and it was a Friday afternoon, and I was taking this thing that I do, the Eucharist, extremely seriously, and I was saying it, and this person comes walking in who's on his cell phone, and he's talking at this volume right here, right? And he's got this teardrop tattoo, and I go to give him the bread, and he's like, I don't want that. And but then we read the gospel after all this. We read the gospel, and it's this gospel. And I make the same point that I'm making to you about the tent. And this person says to us, collected in this room, as a homeless person, I have to choose where I pitch my tent all the time. And I think it's a beautiful thing, he says, that just like me, when I pitch tents with people so that in numbers we can have safety, I pitched my tent to provide safety for some folks, that God was willing to pitch his tent for us for safety. That pitching your tent and is as a homeless person is a vulnerable act. And man, that's how the gospel came alive for me that day, right? That this is what is most true in this beautifully worded, crafted poem that John offers us. That God took this magnificent risk upon us for our own redemption, right? To wrap himself up in our struggles and our joys and our sadness and our failures and our losses and our loves. To wrap himself up in all that experience so that we can be redeemed through that, right? But the redeeming comes in these very practical ways, these very practical ways. And that might be the heresy of the 21st century of bringing this forward and saying that baby is born in those mangers of our hearts over and over and over again through our willingness to risk for each other. And are we willing to do that? Are we willing to take this Eucharist thing, this following Jesus thing, this reading the gospel thing, this lighting the candles thing, this dressing in these vestment thing into the world and risk, be born as Christ to folks over and over and over again? I would like to tell you that Thornton and Ruthie's story ended there in Detroit, but it did not. The South hired thousands of slave hunters. And because of the recently passed Fugitive Slave Act, Federal Fugitive Slave Act, these people had all legal standing and folks had no recourse when discovered as people who had been fugitive slaves. And so eventually, in a matter of years, Thornton and Ruthie were caught, were found out. And the local sheriff there in Detroit arrested them and put them in a jail cell separately from each other. That was on a Friday. The next day, on Saturday, they had a trial. And the whole black community showed up for this trial and packed, couldn't fit them all in, packed the balcony, which is the only part of the courtroom they were allowed in, right? And made great protest. But again, the Fugitive Slave Act had been passed. There was nothing these folks thought they could do. And so Thornton, Ruthie lose the court case. They are scheduled to be turned over to the slave hunter the next day, Sunday morning. The sheriff makes this decision thinking everybody will be in church. It won't cause a fuss. Imagine that. Just pause with that second. All those folks will be at church. They won't cause a fuss. Gosh, I hope that we can be church people who cause a fuss. That evening, Saturday night, and I've got to get these names because these names cannot be lost to history. Two black women, come to the sheriff to ask if they can spend time in prayer with Ruthie, right? The two women were, the first last name is George, Caroline George. The second last name is Lightfoot, Tabitha Lightfoot. Caroline George, Tabitha Lightfoot, show up to pray with Ruthie. They go to her cell, they're there with her for a couple hours, and then they come out and leave. The next morning, the sheriff goes into the cell to find Caroline George in Ruthie's clothing. Just think about it for a second. The risk that this person was taking, right? The vulnerability that she was exposing herself to. That was the baby. That was the moment for her, the courage. She was the Mother Mary in that moment. Thornton didn't have it as lucky. He was heavily guarded. That Sunday when they go to turn him over, those black folks were not in church. They came in riot to where he was going to be handed over. They wrestle the gun away from the sheriff. They throw it to Thornton. They're telling Thornton to shoot his captors. Thornton does not shoot his captors. He shoots into the air, and when everybody hits the ground, they are whisked away to a carriage. The carriage takes off towards Canada. Canada belongs to England at this time. It is a free place. It is not a racism free place, but it is a slavery free place. And so they're heading north and they meet the tree line there. This is very clever. They part ways with the carriage. The carriage goes one direction, they go the other. The dogs are on the scent of the carriage. All the pursuers end up with the empty carriage. Ruthie and Thornton make their way to a boat. The man on the boat, seeing all the commotion, says, "Oh, no, no, no. You're going to have to pay me double to take you across the river into Canada." Again, this is one of these moments. A person lost to history in the party, whose name is lost to us, hands over his gold pocket watch, because they have no cash, to this boat driver. Think about this. 1830s Detroit. What has to be a poor black man hands over what maybe is one or two items of great value for him so that these people could have freedom, right? This is how the baby gets born. I believe that the love, the Christ, shows up in every step of the way, taking the Thorntons all the way into Canada. They make it into Canada. They are promptly arrested. Canada's figuring out, what are we going to do? All of us in this Christmas season for these 2 weeks, I would hope we're sitting and we're thinking, what are we going to do in this world full of injustice and need and brokenness? What are we going to do? How are we going to risk in this way that God risks for us? How are we going to do it? Here's what Canada decided to do. Canada had some extradition laws on their books, and the law was pretty clear that if it could be proven that a fugitive from another territory had broken the law, then that person would be extradited back. Though, they changed the law to state that it could only be extradited if the punishment for the crime matched the crime. And they said that permanent enslavement matched no crime. And so they would not extradite anybody who was a fugitive from the United States. And that standard sits on the law books in Canada to this day. Thornton and Ruthie make their way to Toronto. Ruthie changes her name to Lucy. Lucy and Thornton have a life together there. Thornton starts a cab business, a horse-drawn cab business. That cab business is still in business to this day. He amounts quite a bit of wealth, and in living comfortably there in Toronto, decides a little bit later on that what he needs to do is risk everything, go back to Louisville, Kentucky, get his mother, and bring her back, which he does. So here we are, and we're in the 21st century. All these injustices, these evils, they're swirling around us. And in that dark night, John is clear. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. What are you going to do? Amen.
Please stand with me and let us share our faith together by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 5 of your bulletin. We believe in one God,
the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and a life of a world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people. O God,
receiving power among all peoples,
renew your church in holiness.
Bring healing, comfort, and peace to those whose lives are closely linked with ours, especially those on our prayer list, Margaret, Steve, Nicole, J.R., John and Joan, Paul, Jimmy, Martha, Ryan and Haley, Teddy, Richard, Irene, June, Michael, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Pat, Alberta, Jane, Zach, Chuck and Betsy, Michael, Georgina, Joycey, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Pat, Randy, Jeff, Mel and Barbara, Sherry, Jason, Hannah, Terry, Felicia, Doug, Kim, Laura, Mason, Cameron, Daniel, Zaniel, Carol, Rosemary, Al, Jan, Jennifer, Christopher, Thomas, Dawn School, Community Food Pantry. We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays, especially Lisa Bartholomew. You are invited to add your own petitions silently or aloud.
Give thanks for all the people who worked so hard to make Christmas Eve is a beautiful experience here.
Guide the leaders of this nation and every nation,
that justice may prevail throughout the world.
Let not the needy, O God, be forgotten,
nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Make us instruments of your peace,
and let your glory be over all the earth. Come, O come, Emmanuel, help us to receive you with courageous trust, like Mary did, with humility and awe, as the shepherds did, and all the while proclaiming the good news of your salvation, just as the angels did.
Amen.
Now let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. We may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Please stand as you are able. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
You got to say that to people up until an embarrassingly late day. Then you got to have the awkward conversation about this is still Christmas. So it's your duty as Episcopalians to do this. So welcome. I just want to take this time to acknowledge how beautiful the service was Wednesday evening. The music was out of this world. It was a gorgeous thing. So a deep thank you to all you folks. I also want to acknowledge all the wonderful work that we got to do together in the season of Advent. Heard from Jennifer, who is sort of the volunteer coordinator with Hospice of Chattanooga, and she was telling me as much as she could about these two families that we helped out without, you know, giving too much information away, but telling me that, you know, across our two parishes, we served two families made up of maybe 11 or 12 people who had spent a lot, if not all, of their savings and money on the critical care of one of the children in their care. So they said it made all the difference in the world, having those presents show up in droves like they did. So thank you for that. Also to mention that we served lunch here for the Dawn School teachers. Man, they were over the moon. Those folks were over the moon. And many of us showed up to do caroling, both with beautiful and not so beautiful voices there. And that was love at East Ridge Residence. Advent was an opportunity to really connect and be Christ out in the world. And I just want to bid that to you that 2020 is going to be a lot more of that. And so I encourage you to be on the lookout for that, those opportunities to take this thing that we promise in these walls, outside of these walls. Any other announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
By my
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift
them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. So, this day, we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Glory and honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw the whole world to himself. Yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to his friends, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world that you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with all the holy innocents, Thaddeus, and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world through Christ. And with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see. that God is good. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world of peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve with gladness and singleness of heart. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.